ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ரீடிங் ஃப்ரம் ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் கேண்டோ 8 சாப்டர் 7 சாப்டர் என்டைட்டில்டு லார்ட் சிவா சேவ்ஸ் த யூனிவர்ஸ். டெக்ஸ்ட் நம்பர் 12. உபர்யகேந்திரம் உபர்யகேந்திரம் கிரிராடிவான்ய ஆக்ரம்ய ஹஸ்தேன சஹஸ்ரபாஹு தஸ்தௌ திவி ப்ரஹ்ம பவேந்திர முக்யைர் அபிஷ்டுவத்பி சுமனோபிவ்ருஷ்ட. Translation and purport by His Vain Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: manifesting himself with thousands of hands, the Lord then appeared on the summit of Mandara mountain like another great mountain and held Mandara mountain with one hand. In the upper planetary systems, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, along with Indra, King of Heaven, and other demigods, offered prayers to the Lord and showered flowers upon him. Purport: to balance Mandara mountain, while it was being pulled from both sides, the Lord himself appeared on its summit like another great mountain. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and King Indra then expanded themselves and showered flowers on the Lord. So I seek the blessings of the assembled devotees, especially the senior devotees like His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu, before attempting to speak something on Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this series of verses, we are seeing that how that when the demigods and demons, when they are trying to churn the ocean of milk, we see that at every step they are encountering different difficulties, and in every step the Supreme Lord had to come in order to help them in performing this task of churning the ocean of milk. So in this, in today's verse, it is described that how when the demons and demigods, when they were churning the ocean of milk, the Mandara mountain, it was shaking. So yesterday we saw that how that Mandara mountain was sinking down when they were trying to churn the Mandara mountain. So Lord came, appeared as Kurum avatar in order to support the mountain from below. But because there is no support from the top, so the Mandara mountain was shaking. So then Lord appeared as Ajita, and he actually appeared with 1,000 hands, and he sat on the top of the Mandara mountain. And the Lord is so powerful, it is described that just with one of his hands, he just held the Mandara mountain, and then in that way he gave support to the Mandara mountain. So we hear that how actually Mandara mountain is so powerful, so it's so huge mountain, like, and remember it, like so many thousands of miles long and wide. But Lord appeared with 1,000 hands, and just with one hand, he actually controlled the Mandara mountain's movements. So that is the power of the Supreme Lord. Like we see that in various places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how the Lord exhibits His supreme power. Like recently, like when we had gone to Nasik, like one devotee was telling that in the Nasik there is that army school is there. So there, that devotee had gone to see the Bofors gun. He was explaining that how this Bofors gun was so powerful that even if you, it can target a person who is 40 kilometers away. So that is the power of such gun. Suppose somebody shoots another person with a Bofors gun who is not 40 kilometers away, just few meters away. You would imagine his body will be completely shred to pieces. But if a person just with the tip of his hand, if he just destroys the bullet from the Bofors gun, you can imagine like how powerful that person must be. So similarly, like in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Ashwatthama released the Brahmastra, when Arjuna was chasing after Ashwatthama, after Ashwatthama killed the 5 sleeping sons of the Pandavas. So Ashwatthama released the Brahmastra. So it is explained that Brahmastra is thousands and millions of times more powerful than the modern nuclear weapon. It created such intense heat that Arjuna actually, he was completely bewildered as what was happening. So then, when Ashwatthama released Brahmastra 2 times, so first time Ashwatthama shot this Brahmastra at Arjuna, second time it is described, second time when Ashwatthama released the Brahmastra in order to kill Maharaj Parikshit, who was there in the womb of Uttara, that time Krishna personally saved Maharaj Parikshit. There it is described that Krishna released his Sudarshan Chakra. So Brahmastra is so powerful, but when Krishna released the Sudarshan Chakra, that Sudarshan Chakra dried up the heat produced by Brahmastra, just like sun dries up a dew drop. So when the sun rises, how much effort is required for sun to dry up a dew drop? It's like insignificant, no effort is required. So similarly, when Krishna released the Sudarshan Chakra, it dried up the heat produced by Brahmastra, just like sun dries up a dew drop. So that is the power of the Supreme Lord. Like another place, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, like some of this example is so inspiring, like in the third canto, like when Varahadeva was fighting with Hiranyaksha, I was describing the, like if you see the description of the fight between Hiranyaksha and Varahadeva, like Varahadeva was shooting different weapons. Hiranyaksha, there was such a severe fight that at one point it's described that one particular weapon which was thrown by Hiranyaksha, it hurt Varahadeva. In fact, all the demigods became afraid. So they were thinking that maybe Varahadeva is losing the battle. So they urged the Supreme Lord, please kill this demon immediately. So then Hiranyaksha started actually displaying so many mystic powers. So some stool and urine were, like they were coming from the sky, and then he was invisible. He displayed so many mystic powers. So the fight was going on for a long time. But then at the end it is described that Varahadeva just struck at the cheek of Hiranyaksha indifferently. Just gave some small slap. And then Hiranyaksha died instantly. just imagine, suppose in a cricket match, suppose a player has bowled 9 overs and he has taken 5 wickets and 3 maidens on only 6 runs. So last over he is bowling, he is trying to get more wickets. The batsman hits all 6 balls to sixes. And how much he insulted he would be. So similarly, the Hiranyaksha was fighting so intensely, he was getting excited that I am going to win the battle. And Varahadev was fighting so severely that even the demigods were actually feeling afraid that maybe Varahadev is going to lose the battle. But then at the end, he just gave a small slap that indifferently. Then he just fell down dead. So Prabhupada says, similarly, like the scientists, they make so much of advancement in the field of science and technology. They're so proud of their advancement, but then Lord can just like destroy all this scientific advancement in a small second. Like scientists, they're so advanced, but then few years back when the hurricane came, Hurricane Katrina in United States of America. So with all their most advanced weapons and technology, they could not actually face the hurricane. The only instruction they could give the people was, just leave the city. So Lord allows the demons to display mystic powers. If the Lord had killed Hiranyaksha in the beginning, so maybe like people, Lord's, one may not have experienced the Lord's greatness. But Lord allowed Hiranyaksha to display all the mystic powers. At the end, he just gave a small slap and fell down dead. So similarly, the scientists, they are making so much of advancement, but then Lord can destroy all the scientific theories and advancement just in a small second. So this is the power of the Supreme Lord. In fact, like recently, when I had gone to visit my parents, like one of my relative, like he was telling that, like you Hare Krishna people, like you are basically joined Hare Krishna because you want to escape their responsibilities, because you feel that you have to take care of the parents and so many responsibilities. So in order to relieve the anxieties and responsibilities, they joined Hare Krishna. That one person was saying that, actually, I just now have taken a housing loan. So if I join Hare Krishna, will they pay for my housing loan? Then maybe I will also join. So sometimes people think that, of course, it may be true with me, but like many times somebody may think that, a person takes to spirituality because he wants to get rid of the anxieties and responsibilities. But although a person may take with that motivation in the beginning, but still, when a person becomes attracted to the Supreme Lord, then one's desire becomes purified, one's motivations become purified, then one develops a sincere desire to serve the Lord. So, in this world, we may see such persons, but then, we see in the scriptures, examples of devotees who have actually dedicated their lives for the mission of the Supreme Lord, although they possessed so much of opulences. Like, there is one such example which comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Recently, I was reading this verse. In the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is telling about this Maharaj Bharat. He says, Yo Dushtya Jam Kshiti Suta Swajanartha Dharan Prarthayam Shriyam Suravarai Sadayava Lokam. He says, the activities of Maharaj Bharat are really wonderful. Why? Because Maharaj Bharat gave up everything which are very difficult to give up for everyone in this world. Then he says, Maharaj Bharat gave up Kshiti Suta. He gave up his kingdom, his sons, his relatives, his wives, his beautiful wives, his wealth. In fact, his wealth was even envied by even the demigods in heaven. But Lord Maharaj Bharat gave up everything. But then how could he give up? Naichan ripas tad uchitam mahatam madudved sevanu rakta manasam abavopi falgu. Maharaj Bharat could give up everything because he was attracted by the opulence, power, beauty, knowledge and renunciation of the Supreme Lord. Because he was attracted by the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, he could give up everything. So Prabhupada says that this verse confirms that Krishna is all attractive. So this verse confirms Krishna is all attractive because Maharaj Bharat had all these opulences to the greatest degree. But he gave up all these opulences in order because of being attracted by the opulence of the Supreme Lord. So although a person may get a wrong impression that in this world a person, when they see that person takes to spirituality because of the motivation to get rid of the anxieties and responsibilities, but still one should not consider spirituality like that. One should actually see the examples of Maharaj Bharat and understand that how Krishna is all attractive. That even if a person possesses such opulences to the great degree, but even such a person is attracted, being attracted by the Supreme Lord, he gives up all these opulences. Like once, like Shrutakirti Prabhu, like when he was in Los Angeles, so he would read Krishna book for Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada would sit in the Los Angeles garden and read from, he would tell the devotees to read from Krishna book. So Shatakirti Prabhu was reading this pastime of how Lord Balram killed this demon Dvivida gorilla. So Prabhupada was really enjoying that. Prabhupada was laughing how this Dvivida was performing so many mischievous tasks and how Balram killed him. So Shatakirti Prabhu thought that Prabhupada enjoys that Krishna killing the demons. So next day, again Prabhupada told him to read. So he was looking for some other pastime from Krishna book in which Krishna Balram killed another demon. So he was looking through the index which pastime I should read. So Prabhupada said, Krishna is like a sweet ball. So what you can bite from any side, it will taste sweet. Similarly, you can read any pastime of Krishna, it will taste sweet. So that is the power of Krishna. That is the all attractive nature of Krishna. And we have another example in the Srimad Bhagavatam that how when a person develops this attraction for the Supreme Lord, how a person exhibits such high level of consciousness. This verse is like, it's very inspiring from the third canto. Like, usually we see, like when a person, like there are different levels of sensitivity. Like sensitivity on this material, the physical platform. For example, like suppose somebody is sleeping. So, like if you are conscious of the fact that somebody is sleeping, so somebody will not talk loudly or will not make much noise. This is like sensitivity on this physical platform. And higher than that is sensitivity on the emotional platform. Understanding, oh, this person has these feelings and emotions, so I should not hurt his sentiments and feelings. Understanding the emotions and feelings of the other person. But higher than that is sensitivity on the spiritual platform. Understanding that this person is a spirit soul, part and parcel of God. And this person is a devotee of the Lord. So I should not hurt him or I should not... understanding that this person is a part and parcel of the Lord. That is like sensitivity on the spiritual platform. So usually, like when you see the different species of life, like Padma Puran says, there are 84 lakh species of life. Human beings, aquatics, and then animals, plants and trees and the insects, etc. So these species of life are classified according to the development of consciousness. So human beings are actually on the highest level of consciousness. They have the most developed consciousness. And below them are the animals. The human beings, they can actually understand the feelings. They can not just understand the physical sufferings of another person, they can understand the feelings and emotions of another person. Animals are little less developed. Like some animals can understand the physical sufferings of another animals, but then sometimes, like we see in certain species of animals, they kill their own offspring when their body is in danger. So they can exhibit the physical, the sensitivity on the physical platform only to a certain extent. And below than that are like insects, birds. But the lowest of all the species are plants and trees. Because plants and trees, they can just experience the pains and pleasures of themselves only to a small degree. They can hardly experience the pains and pleasures, the physical pains and pleasures of other plants, because their consciousness is the least developed. But then these plants and trees of the spiritual world, they are exhibiting the highest level of consciousness. Like in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Lord Brahma describes that about the Vaikuntha planets, he's saying, Mandara kunda kurabot palacham pakarna punnaga naga bakulam bujapari jata gandher chite tulasika baranena tasya yasmin tapasumanaso bakumana yanti. Like in this verse, Lord Brahma is saying that in the Vaikuntha planets, there are wonderful plants which produce nice flowers, which produce nice fragrance, like mandara, kunda, kurabodpala, champakarna, punnaga. In fact, there are no English equivalents of such plants. In Prabhupada, in the word-to-word translation, he translates mandara as mandara, kunda as kunda. So these plants, although they are they produce such nice fragrant flowers, they are still conscious of the fact that the plant Tulasi Devi is very dear to the Supreme Lord. Although Tulasi Devi does not have the characteristic of producing nice flowers which produce nice fragrance, but they are conscious of the fact that Tulasi Devi has produced wonderful austerities, has performed lot of austerities to please the Supreme Lord. That is why Lord Vishnu is giving special preference to Tulasi Devi. So Prabhupada says, the most wonderful characteristics of Vaikuntha planets is that there is no envy among the residents of Vaikuntha planets. And this consciousness is exhibited by even the plants in the Vaikuntha planets. In the material world, the plants and trees, they are having the least developed consciousness. But in the spiritual world, even the plants and trees, because they are so much attracted by the greatness of the Lord, and they are so much conscious of their own insignificance, they are actually exhibiting the highest level of spiritual consciousness. They are sensitive, they are exhibiting sensitivity on the spiritual platform. So this shows the greatness of the Supreme Lord. And then we see the third example from the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like this verse is very amazing. This verse talks about the personality of Lord Shiva. Like here we see in this particular today's verse also, we see that it is described that how Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and King of Heaven, Indra, they all showered flowers upon the Supreme Lord Ajita. So it is described about Lord Shiva, Atma Ramopi Yastvasya, Loka Kalpasya Radhase, Shaktya Yukto Vijarati, Goraya Bhagavan Bhava. Lord Shiva is the most powerful demigod, and he is next only to Lord Vishnu, and he is self-sufficient, Atma Rama. And Lord Shiva is such a person, he is self-sufficient, he does not desire anything of this material world. But then it is described, Shaktya Yukto Vicharati Goraya Bhagavan Bhava. Although Lord Shiva is self-sufficient, he is busily engaged everywhere. He is busily engaged everywhere for the benefit of the conditioned souls in the material world. And for that purpose, he is accompanied by the most dangerous energies like Goddess Durga and Kali. Like this verse was so inspiring. Like it is described first, Lord Shiva is Atma Rama, self-sufficient. Like usually when we hear somebody is self-sufficient, like we hear that such a person will not self-sufficient, that means he does not have any desire, he is satisfied within. So such a person may not be engaged in so many activities. And when a person is engaged in so many activities, he cannot sit at a particular place. These two qualities are completely contradictory. But then Lord Shiva is possessing these two qualities. He is self-sufficient, but then he is busily engaged everywhere for the benefit of everyone. So much so that he is actually accompanied by most dangerous energies like Goddess Kali and Durga. So in fact, Prabhupada writes in the purport that Lord Shiva's duty is very dangerous because he has to employ Goddess Durga, who is so powerful. In fact, sometimes we see in certain pictures that Goddess Durga stands at the prostrate body of Lord Shiva because sometimes Goddess Durga is so indiscriminately killing the demons. Lord Shiva had to plead with Goddess Durga, please stop killing, enough of the killing. So Lord Shiva is self-satisfied in the sense that he is so much attracted by the transcendental pleasure in the devotional service of the Lord, he does not need to enjoy, he is not attracted by any pleasure of this material world. But then he is so much attracted by the pleasure of the Supreme Lord that he cannot just sit at one place, but he had to work for the benefit of the conditioned souls of the material world. So much so that he is accompanied by most dangerous energies like Goddess Durga, and he wants to elevate the most degraded species like ghosts and hobgoblins. So this is the quality of Lord Shiva, who is, this shows that how the greatness of the Supreme Lord, that how the Lord attracts a person, and he produces qualities which are contradictory in nature. Self-sufficient, and at the same time is busily engaged everywhere. And then we see another example, like in the fourth canto. This example is also it's very inspiring. This example is given, this example exhibited by Maharaj Prithu. Like Maharaj Prithu, when he gets the darshan of Lord Vishnu, when Lord Vishnu appears in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Prithu, so Lord Vishnu gives different instruction to Maharaj Prithu. So then, after hearing from Lord Vishnu, Maharaj Prithu offers a series of prayers to Lord Vishnu. In one of the prayers, he says, he starts the prayers by saying, Varan Vibhotvad Varadeshwarad Buddha. Prithu Maharaj is saying that you are the best of all the demigods. In fact, you are the best of all persons who can give the benedictions. Varadeshwara. Huh. And then he says, Katam Vrinite Guna Vikriyamana. Which learned person will ask for benedictions, which are asked by persons who are bewildered by the modes of material nature? Ye narakanam apisanti dehinam. In fact, such benedictions are available to even persons in the hellish planets. And then he addresses the Supreme Lord as Kaivalyapate. You are the master of all, you are the master of liberation. So I do not desire any of these benedictions which are wanted by persons who are bewildered by the modes of material nature. So Prabhupada says that Prithu Maharaj did not want any of the benedictions desired by karmis, jnanis or yogis. Karmis, they want the benediction of getting, of being elevated to the heavenly planets. And the jnanis and yogis, they want to merge into the body of the Supreme Lord. But then Prithu Maharaj does not want any of these benedictions which are wanted by karmis, jnanis and yogis. But then what is the benediction he wants? In the next verse he says, Na kamaye na tatadapyaham kvachin. He says, he is further clarifying, because in the previous verse he addressed the Supreme Lord by the word Kaivalyapate, you are the master of liberation. So maybe the Supreme Lord must be thinking, maybe he wants liberation. But then he is making it more clear by saying, Na kamaye nata tadapyaham kochin. I do not desire liberation at any time. So he says, I do not want to merge in the Brahman at any time because it brings me great sorrow. So why does it bring sorrow? He says, Na yatra yusma charana ravindam. Because when I merge into Brahma Jyoti, I cannot experience the nectarian beverage of your lotus feet. Na yatra yusmat charana ravindam. I cannot experience the sweetness of your lotus feet, the wealth of sweetness in hearing about your qualities. So then the Lord asks, so what type of nectar is that? What type of nectar are you talking about? Then he says, Mahattamantar Hridayan Mukachyato. This nectar arises from the heart of great devotee and exits from his mouth. This nectar, that is the pastimes of you, which are spoken by the great devotees, this is the nectar I am talking about. So, Prabhupada says in the purport, sometimes one may say, oh, we can hear Krishna Katha from anybody. So, but then here Prithu Maharaj is saying, no, the nectar of Krishna Katha should be heard from great devotees, not from anybody. By my tasting it, I can understand the sweetness of this, your pastimes. And then Prithu Maharaj says, and I also understand the opposite condition. Just like when the sweet rice or a sweet water, when it is mixed with a salty earth, or when a sweet rice is mixed with salt, then one cannot experience the taste of that sweet rice. So similarly, although your pastimes are sweet, but when it is spoken by non-devotees, then I cannot experience that sweetness. So I want to hear your pastimes from the mouth of your devotees. Then the Lord asks, now what do you desire? He says, because I desire infinite number of years. I desire millions of years because there are infinite number of Krishna Katha discourses which are going on in different places in the universe. I don't want to miss out any of these discourses. I want to hear all of these discourses. So please give me millions of years so that I can taste all this Krishna Katha which is spoken by great devotees. So this shows that how Prithu Maharaj, who was emperor of the whole universe, he does not even desire the bliss of merging into the body of the Lord, but on the other hand, he actually desires the happiness of hearing Krishna Katha. In fact, Prithu Maharaj showed such dedication not only to the Supreme Lord, he showed such dedication even to the devotees of the Lord. So later, Prithu Maharaj met the four Kumaras. See, when he met the four Kumaras, he said, formerly when Lord Vishnu came and appeared, Lord Vishnu told that Lord Vishnu indicated, Lord Vishnu showed his, that in the future that my devotees will come and give your association to you. He said that Lord Vishnu gave his causeless mercy to me by indicating that great devotees will come and give their association to me in the future. So it is very significant. Prithu Maharaj is saying the real causeless mercy of the Lord is that he gives the association of his devotees. When the Lord is really pleased with a particular person, he actually gives the association of his devotees to such a person. Usually, people go to the Lord to ask for different benedictions. But the real benediction one should ask is that, please keep me always in the association of the devotees. In fact, one particular prayer in the Rudra Gita, the fourth canto, Lord Shiva is saying, the translation Prabhupada says, that the real benediction of the Lord is that he gives the association of the devotees. So that is the real benediction of the Lord. So Prithu Maharaj is also saying that Lord Vishnu gave his causeless mercy by indicating that in the future, my devotees will come and give their association to you. So then Prithu Maharaj says, so you, the four Kumaras, you have carried out the order of the Supreme Lord thoroughly, because you are as compassionate as the Supreme Lord. So it is my duty to offer something in return for giving your association to me. But then, actually, I cannot give anything in return. Because whatever I have, it is basically the remnants of you only. He says, Sadhu Uchishtam Hime Sarvam. Like Prabhupada says that, like Prithu Maharaj wanted to offer something to the four Kumaras, but then he felt that whatever I have is actually is leftover. Just like when a father gives something, some leftover from his plate to the son. Like son cannot give that same thing which the father gave to the back to the father. Like we cannot give our jutta to another person. A great devotee may give his remnants, then we cannot give that our remnants to the great devotee. So similarly, Prithu Maharaj was thinking, that whatever kingdom I have got, it's actually given by the great sages. Because when King Vena was killed by the Brahmanas, then the Brahmanas churned the body of King Vena, and then produced Maharaj, and then then Maharaj Prithu was born. Then they entrusted Maharaj Prithu with the kingdom. So Maharaj Prithu was thinking, my kingdom and everything I have, it is actually given by the great sages. So how can I give back the remnants of those great sages again to them? So I cannot give anything. So indirectly, Maharaj Prithu is actually saying that I am offering whatever I have to you. Maharaj Prithu is offering indirectly everything to four Kumaras. Because he is already acknowledging the fact that whatever I have is belonging to you only. So I cannot actually give anything to you because everything belongs to you. And the next verse he further clarifies. In the next verse, he further exhibits his surrender to the four Kumaras. He is saying, Pranadara Suta Brahman Grihascha Saparichada Rajyam Balam Mahikosha Iti Sarvam Nividatam. He says, I offer my life, kingdom, my sons, my house, and especially my treasury. I offer everything to you. So here, two points Prabhupada makes in the purport. The first point Prabhupada says is, like, Prithu Maharaj is saying, I offer my kingdom, I offer my sons, I offer my strength, I offer my land, everything to you. And he is also mentioning, I offer my treasury also to you. So when he says that I offer my kingdom to you, and that means it includes everything in the kingdom. Kingdom also includes treasury, all the soldiers, everything. Why does he mention the word treasury separately? So Prabhupada says that kings, apart from the treasury which they have in the kingdom, they would have their separate treasury called Ratna Bhanda, in which they would have their separate necklaces and different ornaments. That is like the personal treasury of the king, apart from the normal treasury. So Prithu Maharaj is saying, like, I not only want to offer my kingdom, strength, etc., I even want to offer my personal treasury. I don't want to keep anything with me. So in this way, Prithu Maharaj is exhibiting supreme surrender, not only to the Supreme Lord, he's exhibiting supreme surrender even to the devotees of the Lord. And then one may ask the question, in the previous verse, Prithu Maharaj said that, like, actually, I cannot offer anything to you. Because if I offer something to you, it is like offering your remnants back to you. So I cannot offer anything. But then in this verse, Prithu Maharaj is saying, I am offering such and such things to you. So it seems like Prithu Maharaj is contradicting his own statements. So Prabhupada quotes Sridhar Swami in his purport and says that this offering of Prithu Maharaj, all this kingdom, wealth, etc. to the four Kumaras, is just like a servant's offering to the master. Like master, when the servant offers a food to the master, actually the food is purchased by the master only. But then servant prepares the food nicely and then in such a way that it becomes acceptable to the master. So he is actually, in this way he is offering the food back to the master by preparing it nicely and making it acceptable to the master, and then offers back to the master. So similarly, Prithu Maharaj offering to the four Kumaras, he is not offering in the sense that I possess these opulences, so I am giving it to you. But he is actually offering in the mood of a servant offering to the master. So in this way, we see that these great devotees exhibited such opulences. Great devotees exhibited such renunciation, being attracted by the great devotees of the Lord. Like one of the Prerana lectures, when Gaurang Prabhu was giving this lecture on believing in God, a big deal. So he was giving different reasons of why a person should believe in God. Sometimes people say that we are not able to see God. How can we believe in God? So he was saying, now the argument was, like, let us just go by the numbers or democracy. Since time immemorial, just calculate the number of people who have dedicated in the path of spirituality in different religions, either in Vaishnavism or Hinduism or Christianity or Islam. There are so many millions of people have dedicated for the path of spirituality. And just calculate the number of people who are dedicated for other causes, science or technology or medicine or different things. If we just calculate the number of people who are dedicated for the path of spirituality, that means there must be something, they must be experiencing some higher pleasure. So how can we just categorically say, so there does not, God does not exist? So in this way, we see that when a person understands the greatness of the Lord, that although a person may not experience the greatness of the Lord, we see so many examples in the scripture that those people, when they experienced the greatness of the Lord, they exhibited such surrender to the Lord that which is practically unimaginable by us. Huh. How can we develop faith in such statements? Huh. Like one devotee asked Niranjan Maharaj that how do we actually develop faith in the scriptures? How do we develop faith in what we hear? So he was saying, just like different banks are there, when they give different loans, or when the person deposits money in the bank, so the banks give some interest. So one may wonder, we are putting so much of money in the bank, but then how do the banks get money that they are able to give interest to us? So those banks, they deposit that money, they invest that money somewhere else. In that way, they get more money. By that, they are able to give interest to those people who have deposited loans. So similarly, you are saying, if you want to increase your faith, then whatever faith you have, you invest that faith. And you put that, you practice, you invest that faith and put in practice, then by that you will get more faith. And then with that more faith, again put that into practice, then you will get more faith. So in this way he was saying that by investing our faith, whatever faith we have, into practice, and investing our faith in those who have faith, those who have greater faith, then we can increase our faith. So I will stop here. If anybody has any comments, I'll just... questions.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. I wanted to make a small comment about the consciousness of plants. There's a well-done, well-researched book as well as a documentary called Secret Life of Plants. And I'm not disagreeing that plants have a difficult time expressing their consciousness, but in this book and then the video, it shown like various scientists that have discovered how plants communicate, and actually plants have a really highly developed communication amongst themselves and even with other species. It's really interesting. And one example was this man who was he was a police officer, and he was working in the FBI, the research. When people would steal something or commit a crime, he would use a polygraph test, EEG. And so people would be hooked up to this machine, and then their heart rate was tested to see if their heart rate would change when they would ask questions. So what happened was this one woman was murdered, and there was no other things around, and he was an open-minded guy, except there was a plant inside this room. So he hooked up the plant to this EEG, and he brought in people, like different suspects, and when the one suspect came in, the plant just went off the chart. Like, it just freaked out. And then the guy ended up admitting that he was the murderer. One last one, and it's really interesting because this guy continued to study these plants, and recognizing that they have compassion amongst themselves, he hooked up one plant and there was another plant beside it, and he hooked up this one plant and he was thinking what to do, and as soon as he thought, like in his mind, about getting a lighter to burn the plant to see how it was going to react, just the thought triggered the plant. It freaked out. It started getting all afraid. And he had another plant, and he started attacking that plant this another time. And then that's the other plant that was connected to the EEG flipped out. It was off the charts. And then it was just him. He was recognizing that his thoughts had an effect on the effects on this plant, how the plant reacted. And then so he decided to hook up another apparatus that was timed to... he had these sea monkeys, which are like shrimp, in a little cup. And so at a certain time, the shrimp would drop into a bucket of boiling water. And it was in the next room. And so the plant was hooked up to an EEG in another room. And he left. He went for a walk. And the timing was set for some random time, so he wasn't consciously aware of it. And so what happened was he came back, and it was recorded when the shrimp dropped into the bucket of boiling water. And when the plant reacted, but the plant went off the chart. It freaked out because of the death of these little creatures in another room. So it's just one little comment. Yes.
Thank you. Vintara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.